I'm opening.
We have
an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, this is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another Anatomy of a Movie. This week's dissection is The Other Woman. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
And the fabulous Roxy Schreier.
Hello, good to be here.
And Dimitri Panos.
Hello, movie fans.
And in the booth is Phil Svitek. Phil,
welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so...
I'm the other guy.
There you go, great. And he will be, throughout this particular podcast, I'm sure he will be the other woman, the other man, excuse me. So let's give our overall thoughts, general impressions.
Seeing a lot of chick flicks movies over the past few years, and I think this one really can speak to the modern day women, mm-hmm. and just the modern day relationships that women have with each other. I thought it was really fun, high energy.
I had a really easy time relating to this movie.
Ah.
I enjoy, not how you would think maybe,
okay,
but I enjoyed it. I thought that it was fun. I thought it was light. I loved 90% of it. 10% of it, I have something negative to say now.
Okay, Dimitri.
I'm actually shocked. I wasn't a big fan of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it... I don't know. My take on this is going to be a little bit different because I want to go... in researching the movie, I actually enjoyed the movie even less.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about women in film and mm-hmm. empowerment and such. But yeah, I thought it was a very... pale comparison or a pale ripoff of a very good Blake Edwards type of a movie for me.
Right. So. Phil?
I enjoyed it a lot. Now, mind you, I was in a theater full of women. It was literally
That's
packed.
Why you enjoyed
and
it.
They were laughing their booties off. I didn't like it to the
their
level...
Their booties. Unbelievable.
Their booties. Yeah. Booty call.
I didn't like it to the extent that they loved it because, trust me, they were laughing every moment. I found it a little bit long at times, but I was like, you know what? I look behind me and I see those women laughing, so I'm like, hey, I'm not going to say anything.
Did you go opening weekend?
Yes, I did.
Because it is interesting when you you start with a theater full of women.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody here may have started at a crowded theater?
I started with crowded theater last night, so it wasn't opening weekend. Because it did open last weekend, didn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
it did.
Thank you. But it was pretty much a date night.
Sure, sure.
So it was very almost half and half. But there was one enclave of women who came on, who really just wanted a ladies' night out. But much like Phil's experience, everybody was really enjoying it, laughing a lot, and having a good time. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think if you saw it with a theater full of women, you were not alone, though, because 75% of the people who went were women. I think it's a perfect date movie. Mm-hmm. I would love to sit there and sit next to a guy and be like, this is what's coming for you if you do anything. So you watch it.
Yeah, well, and
you
a
watch
lot
yourself.
Of the guys are going, oh, yeah, that's what happens, guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's, you know. So,
I saw it with an older demographic of women, but women nonetheless, and they still enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, my theater wasn't crowded. I saw it last night, and it wasn't crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there may have been 20 people inside a big theater.
Always tough in comedy when there's only 20 in the audience. So.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Although, when I saw Bad Words, there was about as many people, and the people around me were laughing hysterically. Mm-hmm. This one was a little bit... There was a couple in there, and they enjoyed it. They seemed to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, when you're in a cavernous, relatively empty theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously from all the posters and everything, it's a revenge comedy. I mean, how can you think otherwise? So I'm kind of surprised by some people that didn't realize it was going to be that. I've heard since seeing it last night, I've read a few comments from critics and such who didn't understand that. I say, how could you not?
Yeah, when we're looking at it, it's Brass Knuckles,
and a diamond ring.
And a diamond ring.
You didn't realize there was going to be some retaliation and that that was going to happen? I don't understand.
Yeah, those are
even the trailer.
You see the
women banding together to go against this one guy. So you kind of got from the trailer it was going
to
be revenge.
These are people who walk up to the box office not knowing what they're going to see yet.
Mm-hmm.
And have no idea what's really out. And they, the other, what time? It's 7 o'clock. It's tennis. one ticket for the other woman, please. Right, exactly. And then they go in and they have no idea.
Well, there's been a lot of obvious references to, I don't know, First Wives Club, 9 to 5, those kinds of things. So,
John Turner Must Die. Yeah.
There you go. You know, and so, which is kind of simplistic in a way, but what else? Because, well, we were talking earlier about how many movies, what was it that you were talking, the Bechdel thing? Should we get into that now? That's how. Well, no, let's go into just how this became a story first, and how or where it came, how it came to the screen. Do we have what? Yeah, do we have on that.
Well, Melissa Stack is the screenwriter, and she's actually, we've been talking about this a lot.
Upcoming writer.
Well, she's another Blacklist writer, which I don't. We've been talking a lot about Blacklist writers lately, and what she got Hollywood's attention with her 2007 Blacklist script, "I Want to Fuck Your Sister." Mm-hmm. That's the title. That'll look great in a marquee.
Sure, sure.
She's a lawyer who turned to screenwriting, and she basically says that her and this VP of production of Fox, they were discussing the idea of a wife and a husband's mistress and how they would come together, and they thought, hey, this will be fun to write, and hence the genesis of The Other Woman. So basically, that's how she penned it. She went on with the idea.
And she pretty much told that story. I mean, that's what the script is.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that people feel like it's borrowing from previous movies, because it is her first major feature film. So I think it's smart to look around, see films that have been successful, and try to use pieces of them that have worked. Everything nowadays, or most films, in my opinion, seem to be some sort of a remake or borrow this from this or follow this storyline. But I wasn't watching this feeling like, wow, I have already seen this movie a million times. That's not how I personally felt. That's how you guys were feeling?
I kind of felt that way, because there were so many elements in this movie. I'm like, we've seen this in these three movies. We've seen this in these two movies. So there were, I mean, I will get more into that. But overall, I didn't think this movie was original whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I didn't find it overly original either. Like I said, I looked at it as there was, you know, Woody Allen has talked about adultery in a lot of his movies. Mm-hmm. Not that this was as, say, sharp or as smart as Woody Allen. Like I said, Blake Edwards, albeit from the male perspective, has dealt with the topic of adultery and cheating on one's spouse or whatever, or midlife crisis kind of a thing. So, no, the topic wasn't, and the comedy, the slapstick itself, too, I didn't find totally original as well.
Yeah, I can agree that it's quite derivative, but going to Roxy's note, I mean, I'm sure the studio's going, yeah, they had it. In a way, this is kind of like, we went for the chick market right off the bat. We knew we were going for it. Let's give them a lot of wish fulfillment. What woman hasn't been jilted, what woman who has been jilted hasn't wanted a little retaliation and some revenge? So there's a lot of that kind of thing going in there. And I'm sure they picked from those other movies.
Yeah.
For me, what I loved, it's, yes, there's elements of other stuff, but it was the combination of all those different things. And, you know, for me, where it really got fun when it became the three women, right? And so I think for me, I'd never seen that again. I watched some chick flicks, but, you know, certainly not as much as the girls probably.
Oh, come on, Phil. Every week I know.
But so it made it fun for me. And I think what made it really work was Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, and Kate Upton.
Yeah, they certainly utilized that to make it more of a, and that's what brought in that bonding aspect of it, which was kind of fun. I mean, I know every woman in the audience, or at least from my perspective, were really enjoying that part of it.
Yeah.
And they're just having a ball with it.
And I think it was also, yes, these three women are together, and when you put them side by side, they kind of physically look alike, but their personalities and characters were so greatly different. And also the demographics that they usually appeal to in their movies. I mean, you have Cameron Diaz with her normal romantic comedies, and then you have Leslie Mann with her more rude, crude kind of humor with the Judd Apatow movies. And then you had Kate Upton, this new up-and-coming woman, who would bring the young male demographic to this film. You have three different...
She brought the older male demographic.
You know, it's funny. You brought up a really good point in saying, yeah, you had three women. They relatively looked similar, but you said they each had different personalities. And right there, you just brought up Sex and the City. Which again is another female driven. I'm not going to speak for that movie, because I thought that movie was that
TV
maybe,
show.
But the television show itself, I found to be, again, I thought there were, I could pick out three episodes that were smarter, brighter, done much better than this 2-hour movie.
And,
I think,
and why do you feel that was? Like, what part of it was done better? The writing?
I think the writing, the acting, like, just all, you know, all of the above. They treated it seriously, and yet you can treat treat topics like this, and it's all about your writing and your directing. You can have comedy, but so long as I believe that the characters are treating the subject matter in a serious nature and like a realistic sort of kind of way.
So your suspension of disbelief was long gone.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that, I didn't buy that these three characters are going to be friends.
Okay.
Period. Mm-hmm. I had problems with the, Leslie Mann's character. Mm-hmm. You know, Cameron Diaz was the smartest of the bunch, and I actually felt that this was, for me anyways, I thought this was Cameron Diaz's one of her better projects since Something About Mary. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, and her character was smart. She was in a position of power. She was a lawyer, obviously a very good lawyer. So she brought the smarts to the table, but never really went anywhere again. And I go to the writing of her character to me was so, she was in one breath. She said, you never get serious with a guy. You can't do it. It'll always end up in failure. And 2 seconds later, wow, your brother is so hot. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like that.
I think a lot of women are like that, though, honestly. A lot of people are like that. They think they know what they want, and then they see something, and they realize, no, that's what I want. I actually thought that.
She wanted Kingslayer before. Like, I don't think she exactly knows.
That we're calling
him. Well, it's easier than Nikolai Coster or Walden.
We can just call him Mark, maybe.
We can call him Mark.
I like Kingslayer. That's my male aspect.
Okay.
You know, Game of Thrones reference. So I don't know. If you're writing a character like that and she's supposed to have some smarts, like, let that part where she falls in love with the brother develop a little more, other than she just fell head over heels after seeing him. And there was no getting around that they were going to get together.
But to Broxy's point, that might have been the point that the writer was speaking to, because as you've just said, a lot of people are like that. And in your experience, that's a truth. And
absolutely. I also think that we had 109 minutes to complete the story, and had we focused so much on their relationship, then we wouldn't have been able to tell the rest of the story. And from what you're saying, I don't think you would have wanted it to be any longer so that we could fully flesh out this character's story.
Oh, it was long enough.
you were fine with length. But actually, for me, I kind of disagree in the sense that I thought that Leslie Mann was really the glue, and she did such a fantastic job with her character, in my opinion, that it was believable to me that she brought these two women together as friends. I didn't think that Kate Upton would ever be friends with Cameron Diaz, and they didn't really share that bond that Leslie shared with both of them. Oh my gosh, Marissa's looking at me like she's going to bite my head off. But honestly, I really felt that way. I thought it was really interesting, and my biggest pet peeve with a lot of women is when something like this happens and they blame all the other women. Mm-hmm. They never blame the man. I thought this did a really good job tackling that, which is very important when we're in a society where a lot of times females, they feel like they're getting beaten down, and it's by other women, you know? It's important to help raise each other up, and I thought that, no. Was it the most realistic film that I've ever seen? Absolutely not. Do I think that Leslie Mann's character was a little over the top? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think that she was the glue, and without her taking it to that extreme, I never would have believed that these people could have been friends.
I wouldn't say glue. I would say catalyst. So Leslie Mann, she was the one who got all three of them usually together. I mean, she constantly went after Carly and, you know, formed that unlikely relationship. And then they both went after the other woman, you know, Kate Upton's character, Amber. And I've found she was the driving force, but not the glue. I think I personally just related more to Carly because she was a very successful, very straightforward, headstrong kind of woman. And then she actually did have high morals and stuff. He's like, you know, you don't cheat with other, you don't break up marriages and all that. She had good, strong values.
Yeah.
And that's what I appealed to. And I thought Leslie Mann's character and the way she portrayed her, that she was very over top, and a lot of the scenes that might have been the acting, just letting the scenes run out and have her kind of ad lib and improv on on set. I felt like her scenes went way too long. She just kept saying things over and over just to like spit out words, and I'm like, okay, I can't listen to you anymore.
Yeah, I felt the same way with her character. It was, to me, she Apatowed, as I like to call it. She Apatowed completely. Many of her scenes, and with meaning she let the comedy run way too long. Exactly. And there was nobody. We were talking about this beforehand, and you brought up a good point because you talked about editing, and I say, you know, a director, like, again, like the scene where she shows up at Cameron Diaz's doorstep at work, like the Cameron Diaz character, I think, would have first security, and like she wouldn't have let her, like the whole window, open up a window, like ran on for
cracked
so
the window.
Long.
Yeah, and it's I love that. It was repeated too many times.
That's not Leslie's fault. Leslie's doing what she's supposed to do. I want you to go for it. You go for it. It's not her job to figure out how much you're going to put in the movie. Her job is just keep doing. What is it you need? Good. I'm there. I'll do it full percent.
It's the editor or
the director saying, okay, we have enough of that. And then they're supposed to protect that performance. They're supposed to shape that performance. It's not her job to, you know, she's just there. What color do you need? I'm painting it.
Had she been timid about it, we wouldn't have believed her.
The hardest thing to do is get an actor to go as far out there on the ledge as you need them to do. It's much easier to pull them back.
I just think they let it run on.
Yeah, but that's
too long.
But for me, and I blame the editor and the director on that.
And another scene that I think would be an example of what you're talking about, but I actually really enjoyed it, would be when they're getting in the car and Leslie Mann character is so drunk.
They actually talked about in interviews that was not originally in the script.
It was completely improv. She was supposed to just put her in the car, and then they were supposed to go and then be out the window and whatever. But they saw that there was physical comedy there because their body types are so different, and one is long torso and one is long legs. I thought that was so funny, like trying to get in the car and she's climbing on it. I think that the editor could have cut it a few seconds sooner, and same thing with the window thing. But you don't cut until the director tells you to cut. And so you're just going to live in that world until then. So I agree with John that it can't. How can you blame this girl? What is she supposed to do? Look at the camera and be like, well, I'm done now.
Her job is to give options. That's not my... It's not necessarily my point, like, where this totally is on her. You know, I do think that some of the writing... Again, that character...
Didn't work for you. And the whole
turnaround, like, I did not believe that, again, her character arc. She's this woman, and now she's the CEO of multi... Yeah.
Would you agree with me, though, that I love the idea of that arc? I love the idea.
But had it been set up that she went to school or something.
Just some believability that this woman could turn into that or have a background for it, or we could see her grow into that.
Absolutely.
That would have been way more successful. At the end, you do this montage crap with her. Oh, now she's – please, just let her – because you could have had her earn that.
Yes.
And we would have been with you on that.
Yes.
And the idea of it was wonderful. I loved it. And then it was like, poor execution for me.
Absolutely. I agree, because we see the ending where she is the CEO. But we see
the multi-company.
We see the very beginning, her first major scene. She goes on a three-minute rant saying, I need to go to brain camp because I don't feel like I'm smart enough. Mm-hmm. And then to have her be a CEO, I'm like, that's not believable with her character.
The reason why I actually kind of respond to that. I know a lot of women who are at her age in the movie, and when they're, quote, at home all the time, they start to lose their brains because they're not engaged out there in life sometimes.
Well, but
her life is about shopping or whatever, and sometimes that starts to make your life smaller, and you just start to lose the normal synapses firing that goes on in the world. Exactly.
And that's where she was.
I like that they started her there, and I like that they ended her over here. I just didn't like the way – they didn't have a really good enough through line for that.
Exactly. In theory, I absolutely digged it. You know, like I thought it was – or dug it, I guess.
I like the first
– I digged
she,
it.
She didn't dig it. That's even more hipper.
But I thought that it was really cool to think that a woman who was –
almost a shut-in.
Yeah, she stayed at home. She cooked. She cleaned. Yeah. She did whatever her husband wanted. Had it inside her to become this thing.
Right.
I think that a lot of women put themselves down, and their husband comes home and he's talking all these numbers and only almost doing it to put her down to make her feel like she is not capable of being what he is.
So a sense of control,
right? Absolutely, but. Then we didn't see anything throughout of her understanding. Everything is Carly telling Kate, listen, this is how this works. And Kate being like, huh? Huh? Mm-hmm. There's never explain this to me so that I get it. She just kind of follows the instructions. And then all of a sudden, is there just a click moment? Because yeah. I didn't see it.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have been there somewhere in the script, but it didn't show up on the screen.
No.
So right. I don't know if it was edited out for timing or whatever. But no.
Which was unfortunate.
Yeah, and again, though, I'm going to, you know, and I'll point out, too, you know, we can talk about Leslie Mann's character, but Kate Upton's character.
Mm-hmm. Amber.
Okay, what did she do for a living?
She didn't have to do anything because she was beautiful.
She's a gold digger. Essentially, she's a gold digger. She went with anybody who looked good and had a ton of money. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, Chrissy Snow from Three's Company had more intelligence than Kate Upton. I mean, she was not.
Check the archives for that, people.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah. You know, Suzanne Summers, Chrissy Snow. Yeah, and Kate Upton's character, like, what was her, other than wanting to be with a man who could give her stuff, who was she?
There's a line where Carly says, well, we're going to find out what Amber can do. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I didn't find out what Amber could do.
No. And it was a great line.
It was a great line. And I was ready to see her kick
excited.
Butt. Yeah,
exactly.
But then,
and it's like, again, why
but then
did
when
you
she
set
did was marry
up?
The dad.
Why did you set that up?
Yeah, yeah, which again, like, and yeah, and that bothered, you know, and Cameron Diaz's character is going to be okay with Amber.
Even her arc was not successful to me. I mean, I got what they were going for, and congratulations. I got it. You laid it out nicely, but it was just, you just missed all the points between to actually let us see that develop.
Yeah, absolutely. My biggest issue character-wise was with Amber's character. I felt like she was a piece of fluff, and sometimes movies need fluff in order for them to make some event happen or whatever, but I really could have done without her. You know, it could have just been the two women and something else.
Yeah, and that was really it, because we saw so much character development between Carly and Kate for the longest time, and then Amber finally came in, and then we're like, all right, now we're getting somewhere. But I think the really only purpose for Amber was her the one lines. She's that one line kind of character.
But here's the thing.
I think kick him in the balls.
In that role, here's the thing. I think Kate Upton has a future in these types of roles. She doesn't have a range, not whatsoever.
Well, neither did Cameron Diaz when she started.
She was so funny.
But do you guys think that it would have been...
Wait, I'm sorry. I interrupted. You thought she was really funny?
I thought she was brilliant. I thought out of the three of them, she...
Wow.
Here's the thing. Again, it's a very specific character that she's playing, and you know, it's just a matter of timing. But I think she knocked it out of the park for what she was doing.
I thought she was kind of replaced. Could have been replaced with anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you guys...
But that's interesting that Phil saw that.
So. Yeah, it is interesting. And I'm wondering, though, what you guys would think if her character had gone a different direction. So what if Cameron Diaz's character had said, oh, you know what, I didn't know and I never would have done this. And then we go to Amber and Amber is like, no, I want to keep sleeping with him. I like him, you know, because I don't feel like every woman would have responded in the way that these women did. I don't think everybody would have been like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, my God. I'll stop right now.
Or
some women are sneaky.
Defy some convention there, because you set up Cameron saying, well, we're going to get to know what she
did.
And I go, great. That's terrific. Then she's going to have her, you know, be the one that figures it out. I mean, I don't know who she is, but I thought you're setting up this whole thing that, oh, we're going to...
She cracks the code.
Exactly. She's the mystery. And by, ooh... And then, she's just the same thing as we'd always expected and saw. And
she was
no
eye
different.
Candy.
Well, she was. But again, I'm going to go back to my Blake Edwards reference to 10. Mm-hmm. Is a great, great movie.
I mean,
and
how could you not? Running on the beach
in the white bathing suit. Bo Derek, you know, I mean, the reference was there in slow motion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That character bothered me because we knew so much about, like, I don't even know what the hell that character did for work. Like, how did they, how was she even in the same social circle as Mark was?
Well, I was thinking more, how did she get to the Bahamas? Who paid for that ticket?
He did, of course.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Or no, not to the Bahamas, to when they go and seek revenge on him and he's somewhere, you know, and they meet Carly and her go and meet Kate.
I just assumed that Carly said, let's
pay
go.
For
we're
it,
going.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows?
I didn't even go that far.
I have to say, though.
That's what I was like.
The one thing I did enjoy about that, you know, when we meet Amber, is that, what's her name? Leslie's character. I can't remember her character name.
Kate.
Thank you. I like that she immediately takes a shine to her, and they're having a good time. And you can see Cameron getting a little jealous over it. You know, say, wait a minute, I was just developing a friendship, and now it's gone.
And now she has a girl crush on somebody else.
Exactly. And I go, well, that's something I haven't seen. That'd be great to put her in. And then they just let that fizzle. It didn't go anywhere. And it's like,
I kind of find that that happening kind of realistic too, when like two girls finally start bonding, and then you add a third person, and like usually one person might like cling to the other.
That's
as
what I thought
well.
Was great.
Then the other one, that happens so often.
Then they didn't do anything with
my,
it. Like,
from the guy's perspective here, what was like, there's usually, you know, all of these women, I find to be very attractive in their own way. I think Leslie Mann is a very attractive woman. Cameron Diaz is attractive. And Kate Upton, you know, attractive. There wasn't one ugly one in that bunch. Usually it's the one attractive girl has at least one, maybe not so on the same par. But to me, they're all very attractive women in this thing. And that sort of kind of like wasn't all too believable for me. That's the guy's perspective. There's usually one who's not on the same level.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Or they dress her down.
They dress her down.
I thought that part was actually believable because I think a lot of men have a type, and I thought that they, even though they were a little different, they all were, could be considered a type. But then we see him with this brunette chick sitting on his lap later, and I'm like, oh, okay, so there goes that theory. He has no type. He's just a pig. Like,
well, you know, there was the brunette at the bar that he was hitting.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
Yeah, they're breathing and in shape, I suppose. I mean, I just...
And young.
That's funny.
I think that what my favorite part about the movie was the feeling that I got from it. Like, yes, let's go, women. Which was why I was so surprised when I feel that other people weren't feeling like that. You know, I saw this script and I didn't think for a second, oh, that really made us look bad. That really
you
made
mean the
us
movie
as
or
a
you actually saw the script?
No, sorry, I saw the movie. Okay, I saw this movie and I didn't think, ooh, as a gender, we're not doing so well right now. Yes, there were moments where I thought that characters looked weak, but I think that that's part of it. And I think that something that was very realistic for me was the fact that Kate was grasping at all of this because her brother says, when this is actually over,
she's
going to have to move. You know, this is really going to hit. But for now, let her think that this is some game because she needs a little cushioning, you know? That was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
It was mine too, but I was still going, well, then show me when
but
it
then
hits.
Then show me that. And exactly.
Then show me, then you could really show how Cameron has evolved her character because you could see how she would help pick her
up. Right. I thought they did a really good job setting themselves up in this movie and then it kind of fizzled. But there were so many things that could have been fizzled.
I think the thing is for me is that we had these three women, they're bonded together for a certain goal, a certain objective in the end. And my thing is, why revenge? That's kind of a negative thing for women to bond together to do something in the world. And I felt like the first half of the movie, for me, I didn't think it shed the best positive light on women and joining together. And there was also a line, I think, from Nicki Minaj's character, that her assistant, Carly's assistant, she said, selfish people live longer. And I'm like, you're sending wrong messages.
That bothered me.
That bothered me so much, especially.
That is the truth. I'm sorry to say.
That bothered me a lot.
Try to finish this. But we just hear, we already just heard Carly saying, no, you don't sleep with other women's men, you know, and she had all those values that she spitted out, and then we see selfish people live longer. I'm like, you're sending us bad messages about women.
I thought this was one of the most realistic parts of the movie, though, because every other woman is just like, every woman is sitting there being like, yeah, there are some women out there that are like that. She's saying, sleep with married men. Selfish people live longer. I don't think anybody was looking at Nicki Minaj's character being like, wow, I want to be that woman. I aspire to be her. To me, she was horrible. She was selfish. She gave really bad advice. I didn't particularly love her personality. She was very over the top. I thought that it was an accurate depiction of somebody who was like that. I don't think they were saying to us,
there are people out there lying there, but the message that was conveyed to the audience that,
I don't
hey,
think
this
that was
is what
message.
You should believe.
I don't think it was saying no, but, this is what
well,
you should believe.
I think Nikki's character was absolutely saying that, and that was absolutely the message she was conveying. But that, for me, that wasn't the message of the movie, because see Cameron Diaz's character, who she said it to, it turns out to be not selfish.
Right.
So she chooses a life other than that. So it's one line from a movie.
Right.
It's not. I don't think it's the message of the movie, but I agree with Marissa that when it came out, I'm sure it affected some people. But I didn't take it seriously because, first of all, you're in the first act. That's when you bring all those things up. But that's the thing that Cameron is going to overcome. You can't show the arc without knowing what it is that you're overcoming.
Yeah.
So you need to have the selfish, you need to go from selfish to unselfish in order to have that arc.
Absolutely. So, and like you're saying, I didn't think it was the point of the movie. I think it was one character's perspective. I think that it's important to have a lot of different perspectives because these three women all had the same perspective.
Can I ask you this, though? Because one of the things I think people are upset about is, like Marissa was saying, and I understand why people are, some people are feeling this, that's a poor depiction of women. And I'm going, you know, if there were more depictions of women overall, we'd have room in the lexicon for a retribution movie with women and not taking it so seriously, because I think anybody that takes this thing seriously, I think missed it. I don't think we're supposed to. I don't think this is not a message movie.
This is not saying this is what you should go and do if your husband is cheating on you.
This is like
you.
Dumb
Absolutely
and Dumber
not.
Stupid. Right. We don't look at the message of Dumb and Dumber and go, oh my God.
Yeah, but you know,
depiction of men.
Okay, but here's my thing though. We could have, you know, because the way that I was going to approach talking about this movie is about women in film and how they're depicted and roles for women and studies about that. And first and foremost, there have been other movies that are much better than this. They don't have to be a revenge movie, but you know, Bridesmaids was a much better movie than this. I felt, and that had great women and you know, And it had a very flawed main character who you didn't agree with, but who goes through an actual arc. Like, there was some smarts to it. I will also, if you want to go, like, of recent, too, I'll take, you know, if you want women in a movie. And again, it doesn't have to be a revenge picture. And I get it. That's what they sold this movie on. That was marketing, and it worked. And why not? Like, that is what's going to sell this movie.
And it worked in the previous movies. You know, like, yeah. What we're comparing to, it has worked in the past. So
yeah.
Let's do it again.
And you know, like, last year, I was a huge fan of The Heat. And that depicted two women who were strong, had positions of power, each with varying personalities. And it turned the cop buddy genre sort of kind of on its heels and made it female buddy genre. And that movie works very well. I think that in this movie, these women, again, you know, all they are based upon, the only thing driving them is a man. That's it. That's all they talk about. That's all they go about.
Yeah, but that's this movie. This movie is about this big. It's not about their whole lives. It's just about this thing happened to us. So what else do they got?
Cameron Diaz is a lawyer who supposedly gets this case.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be big, but we never know what it is and why it's so big for her to, like, even elevate her career. There just doesn't seem to be any care about that.
I don't know that. Kate Upton's character. How does that help tell the story about how they got back at this guy?
And I wish they would have gone with the lawyer aspect. Maybe she could have used her you know, work habits to, like, do all this background research.
Well, that's
on
she's
she
the one that figures it out.
Yeah.
She's the one that figures out whether.
I think they did use the lawyer aspect. I don't think they used it to their full potential. I also, to speak on your point, I don't disagree with the fact that it was very anger and male driven. You know, it's all about women and this man. I think that was the story they were trying to tell. But to prevent it from being completely like that, I think that is why they had that scene, such as when Carly says, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this anymore because I just don't even want to be involved. And then the only reason she stays involved is because of her friend, which I think was friendship driven, as opposed to Carly wanting anything to do with this man. I didn't feel like I walked out of this and was like, all they were trying to say was how obsessed women are with men and how it runs their whole lives.
But that's all they were talking about. Even Carly's character, once she got off of Mark, she went on to what's-her-face's brother. Like, there was
But here's the thing. If that happens to you, that's what you're obsessed about at that particular time. If it happened, and this is what, a 3 week, I don't know, 6 week maybe in their lives. I don't think they're not telling any more of their lives than that. It's just, this happened, and this is what we're going to do about it. I don't think it's a mistake not to include the lawyers. Who cares what her case was? It didn't impact me at all
because it was thrown in there and made again. It was made a point. It's like, you got this case, and she even says something like, oh my God, that's amazing.
I don't even recall that, but
she walks in her office and there's a stack of crates
or
something.
About that.
Well, every time she goes back to the office, you can see her office get progressively with more workload for her. I think the three women, why they kept, you know, stayed on this revenge path with Mark.
Let's face it, it wasn't a revenge path until halfway through.
Yes,
so
true.
The first half of the second act is more bonding.
Carly was in it for her intelligence. I think Kate was in it because she was more emotionally connected, and then Kate Upton's character, Amber, I think she was just along for the ride. Those were the three things that
But I agree with Roxy, because the first half of the second act is them coming from the other woman and the wife to becoming friends. And then at the midpoint, that's when they learn about the other, and then it becomes a better retaliation and revenge thing.
Just like in my head, the only thing that played at that halfway point is muhahaha. I don't think it was, you know, like it's these women coming together, yeah, exactly. and they're not sitting here being like, this is the best thing we could do. They're saying like, what can make her feel better? You know what? Let's get this son of a bitch. And that's what they do.
And that's from a commercial standpoint. Yeah, that's where the movie works. But again, like, again, I'll just go back. The Cameron Diaz character is supposed to be the smartest one in the bunch. Like, but just why? Because she's a lawyer?
I don't know.
All right. So, and then
the
Kate
things up, more well
right.
planned.
And she would like, but she gets involved in this. Again, I didn't buy the fact that these three people would ever become friends.
I don't disagree with that. But yeah. I don't even buy Cameron Diaz as a big time lawyer.
I didn't have a problem with that, but I wouldn't, number one, well, if I'm not buying him as friends, then I'm not buying the movie. Because it has to, you have to rely on the friend, on the strength of their friendship.
I absolutely agree with you. Why would these three women ever get together? I don't see them in the same circle. But except for this event, they would never have been friends. It's because of this event that they develop a friendship.
Right.
And I thought they did a decent job of showing Cameron and Leslie developing a friendship.
Me too. I actually thought that those two women could have been friends in some sort of a life. Mm-hmm. Kate Upton character was a completely different story. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes don't you ever watch a movie not because you want to have a message told to you or know what to do in your life. Sometimes you watch a movie because you wish that's what you could do.
Yeah, it's,
you're sitting at home and you're thinking, what can I do?
It's not a message movie.
If there was no repercussions to anything I did in life and there was no jail and there was no death and there was no money, could I do this? Like, what would I do? And you look at that and you're like, yeah, that's what I would do. That's all this movie was to me. Something that I wish that I could have done to one of my exes. Like, yeah,
not
you go get
them,
girl.
Not ever had anything like that happen to her.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
That she would ever do anything like that.
Oh, of course.
I think going back to why these three women would be together, it was all situational. You know, we know that Mark was the one that had all the same things related with all of them. I mean, if you think about it, like 9 to 5, they were all in the same workforce.
Yeah, again,
workplace. Or even, heck, I'll even go back to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The two most unlikely guys are always stuck together in the same place. So it's like stuff like that, that the outside forces that help bring people together.
You mentioned 9 to 5. Again, a much better movie.
Yes.
Than this, that stands for more than just revenge. I mean, like, when 9 to 5, when we come to the ending of 9 to 5, these women, through their hard work, their perseverance, and their revenge capability, and what they do, it pays off, and there's an arc, and the bonding of these three. One is an office assistant. Yeah. The other one's a typist, a receptionist, and I forget what Dolly.
She was a secretary as well.
And so, and the mere fact that how these people bonded, and it was Dabney Coleman's character who was the cad in that movie, and how he treated women, their schemes for revenge, which were thought out, and like sometimes it was fantasy or whatever, it worked.
Yeah, but
this movie, and even Cameron Diaz cites 9 to 5, but it works much better.
Well, I agree. I think that's a better, well crafted script. I think everything was better in that 9 to 5, and I think this one has many challenges with its script and character development, etc. But I don't. I mean, people seem to be upset about the fact that there's a revenge aspect of it. I just think there's room in the movie world for women to have fun with the revenge movie. I don't take it seriously and think that, oh my God, women. We shouldn't be portraying women like this way, because it's a movie.
Yeah,
it's just to enjoy. I mean, it's not like saying, oh my God, now every woman are going to be. It's not all women are not vengeful. Just happened to be. But this particular instance, these women, they went a little crazy.
I absolutely agree. And maybe I'm biased because, of course, at our sister network, I cover the show Revenge. So I don't know. Maybe there's some inner demons in me or something, guys. Maybe I'm missing the mark on this.
Out.
But I not necessarily it's the path that I would take, but I think that it is a path. But and I think that we see men take the path sometimes. So
I
now we
say
see
this,
women take
I
it.
I bet you if this was a much better movie, we wouldn't be having the discussion about
absolutely.
The revenge aspect of it. We would have just had a good time and enjoyed it.
Like you were talking about in Bridesmaids. And absolutely. Did I like this movie? Yes. Was Bridesmaid a better film? a thousand times over. Of course it was. It was smarter. It was more on point. But
although it did have a few Apatow moments.
True.
God, get an editor.
I don't even mind that sometimes. But I am curious, even if it did miss the mark a little bit, what was your favorite aspect of this movie? Was it in the sound? Was there any aspect that you were like, ooh, if they fleshed that out, I really could have enjoyed this?
No, I mean, the best I can, in all honesty, about the best that I can say about the movie for me, and I've said it here, it didn't make me angry. I didn't want to punch anybody when I was done watching the movie. And I just left the theater going, meh, it was okay, it wasn't great. And when I started researching it, and again, we work in a business, we work in an industry that this type of, where women, you know, they always, Hollywood is looking, it's clamoring. Like, we need stronger rules for women. We need to do this. And that's fine. I just don't think that this movie is a good example of that, because these characters, the script doesn't give these characters the time to grow. And you give them growth careers. You give them power careers, and you have the potential to grow and arc. And let's see that. I'm going to point out one of Marissa's favorite movies, which, again, I think is a great female-driven movie about a woman who has to tackle certain things on her own and yet still be successful in a business world. And how does she do that when it's primarily a man's world and yet she has to take care of a baby? And the name of the movie is Baby Boom.
Baby Boom.
Okay. Again, a much better movie with Diane Keaton. And she's, a much stronger woman than this. Just, again, I don't mind zany comedy. I don't mind it. I don't mind the revenge aspect. You're absolutely correct. There are many movies and or television shows that I watch where I go, God damn, I wish I could do wish I could look as good as the Kingslayer. Okay? Because I wish women, when I walk by, would do a double take. They're doing the double takes for me for the wrong reasons. So, yes, I wish that.
Don't say yourself short.
Yeah. Well, I'm 5'11", so I'm not that short. But in any case, I'm just like saying, yes, there are many. That's why I love the movies, because I do wish in some cases I could be James Bond or something like that, or take revenge against somebody who may have dumped me. All I'm saying, when we look at, there was a report that was done and a study of 23,000 characters in the year 2013 in a representation of women. It came down to, of the top 100 grossing films in 2013 were overwhelmingly male. Just 15% protagonist women, 29% major characters, 30% of all speaking characters were female. Okay? Very underdeveloped. And when you get a female comedy like this, it's not a surprise to me that this movie is number one in the box office. You know, you seem to forget Sex and the City. They were making women were getting together in droves, having Cosmo parties and going to see Sex and the City to make it, and its sequel, I believe, the number one movie of the weekend. And it's an underserved. Not only is it underserved in the movies for strong women character, but for the audience as well. Our female characters today, a lot of the strong ones, are Katniss Everdeen and or from Divergent. And that's great for Jennifer Lawrence Shailene Woodley, who again too, she was in a fantastic movie last year called The Spectacular Now, and she had a great woman's role, and she's going to be in an upcoming movie, The Fault of Our Stars, where she looks like she gets to act and be a strong, intelligent woman that people can look up to. You don't necessarily have to look up to Katniss all the time, but when you look at a Baby Boom, there was a woman struggling to have her career as a businesswoman, and these women, I feel that the script shortchanged.
I can't agree.
So did I mind that it was a revenge movie? I don't mind that it was a revenge movie whatsoever. I'm just thinking throughout the history of film. Look at Barbara Stanwyck. I just recently saw Double Indemnity. Her role in Double Indemnity, she is the definition of femme fatale in which she carries that movie. It's a great movie. And then Mae West. I mean, great, strong presence in cinema, and all the way Ingrid Bergman. I know I'm talking black and white movies, but
no. But I think, but the point, a greater point you're making is that they're not making those, which is a shame, and they should, and they hopefully will. But I also think that although we're missing those, You know, again, I go back to the Dumb and Dumber. I mean, there's lots of, there's so many films about men that have horrible leading bad stories. And, you know,
but I think this one wanted to be meatier than Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, I agree. But here's the thing. I'm not sure it did, because it fell short on the meatiness on so many levels. I think it was so uneven that I have a hard time believing that they were trying to go for something more than the lowest common denominator.
And
I don't think
they
were trying for something deep.
Right. If they were, they didn't succeed. And like you're saying, we are missing those. I just don't think this was trying to be that.
I think
that there's room in film for a lot of different things of trying to be. And I don't think this was that. And it is unfortunate we don't have that. But sometimes, instead of giving you role models, people to look up to,
they're cautionary tales.
I was going to say it's just about being able to find women and relate to a small quirk of theirs or whatever it is. Like, you look at the show Girls, you know, and you don't look at one of them and be like, I want to be like you. That's exactly who I want to be. And no, I didn't look at this and think, when I grow up, that's who I want to be. Yeah, none of them, you know. That's not how I felt. But I did think, huh, that's interesting. Oh, I kind of felt like that before. Oh, then that friendship. Oh, that's a weird relationship. You know, things like that. Not, this is what I am aspiring
to. I'm not saying that is what you would want to be. And I'm glad that you don't. It's very
well,
sweet.
I'm
just saying that it could have been a smarter movie.
Absolutely.
That could have encompassed everything that we're talking about here. Yeah. And,
I'm not sure if it could have based on what we saw. I don't know.
Really?
I wanted it to be. I don't know. First of all, I don't think that's what they were going for. And I don't know. I honestly can't tell from what I saw whether or not they were capable of getting there. Honestly. Because you're right. It could have been. And why wouldn't you go that route? So either you didn't want to or you couldn't. And I'm choosing to believe they didn't. That's not what they went.
They went
for something else.
If it was couldn't, then what was it that prevented them from getting there, do you guys think? Because I think it's that they didn't want to.
That's what I think.
But if it was that they could not, then why could they not?
I'm just going to say talent. I just don't think that the writing. No. Well, I mean, not all around. I mean, listen, I mean, you brought aboard talented people. Mm-hmm. You did. I mean, Nick Cassavetes has directed a lot of movies.
Notebook.
And so.
John Q.
Yeah. So he's had a modicum of success
as
a director.
Most of his movies are more drama based movies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which
not
is why
comedy.
I think he wasn't interested. I thought he went, let's do something different and wanted to do something.
I'm surprised he directed this one because I haven't seen really a comedy from him.
And you know what? Now that you put two and two together for me. Yeah, I guess that makes sense why his comedic timing.
That's why he wanted to go zany.
Yeah.
I think he
wanted
to go.
But as a director, though, you know, you as a director, you know your comedic beats. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to need to hit. Mm-hmm. Like Paul Feig is a good comedic director, and he can direct women
and he knows too.
So you know that could have been it. But again, I'm not taking away from the talent. Cameron Diaz can be very funny. Mm-hmm. Kate Upton. She's talented in what she does, and that's being a model. And she was, I don't take away from her acting in this movie. She was fine.
She was serviceable.
Yeah, and Leslie Mann, I find funny women sexy and attractive. Mm-hmm. Like that Tina Fey to me is very attractive. I even find Jane Curtin when she was in Saturday Night Live. There's something awesome about a woman that can make me laugh. And, you know, Leslie Mann, I think, is a very talented actress and she's got comedic chops. I think perhaps, as you said, the director, editing, whatnot, it just didn't service her. She could have been serviced
better.
You wanted
it reined in a bit.
My thing is, for this film, I think the comedy came out from the situational humors. It was that absurd comedy, not the, you mentioned Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I find they're more intelligent kind of comedy. That the lines that they deliver are more smart, more on point. I felt a lot of humor in this movie. It was the situational humor. We had the diarrhea scene. Mm-hmm. We had the shoving out of a window. It was a lot of physical slapstick humor.
Which is why I don't think they were going for something serious.
But again, the glass. Keep picturing the glass shattering. Somebody literally being pushed out of the window and everything crumbles. All the wood breaks and she's like, sorry, like
how she just falls
again,
on the ground.
There's no way they were going for that realistic, like gut wrenching.
But then again, I'll bring it up again. Blake Edwards was the master of slapstick comedy, and he's had people falling out of windows, and it worked much better.
Yeah, and, I don't debate and that, I think but that, I don't think I take those movies seriously.
But hiding under the wedding dress. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that
you don't like that movie?
No, because I wasn't buying that.
It was situational.
Like, he had to be
it was situational,
idiot.
Absurd humor, not intelligent humor.
I get it. And again, I just go back to better movies that use slapstick comedy that had a central theme of whether it was a middle-aged crazy or adultery or being unfaithful or doing something like that. Look, I think slapstick is hard. And so, you know, if this is going to help bring slapstick back, all the more for it. But, you know, I wasn't necessarily buying all that was going on. And like the glass at the end was like,
ooh, that was
you
tough.
Know, I know we're going to talk about the ending at some point. But, you know, the other thing too is, you know, upon my research, I didn't actually realize that there's an actual test. There's a female. And I got this from the LA Times, in fact, who write the other woman, progress or predicament for female driven film. Mm-hmm. And in one of the things it says here, numerous observers have pointed out that the other woman fails the Bechdel test, an assessment created by a cartoonist of all things, Alison Bechdel in 1985 strip to determine whether a movie features some semblance of significant female representation. Mm-hmm. Passing the three-point test requires a movie include at least two named female characters, that they have a conversation with each other at some point, and that their conversation isn't about a male character. While the other woman easily passes the first two criteria, it fails on the third count. And there is nothing that drives these women other than men. And again, we see that Cameron Diaz's character has a career that she loves and that she worked her way up to, and that she has this case that could but we never, again, it failed. With Kate Upton's character, hey, I want to know what you, we never find out anything about. For the most part, there are these one-note character women whose sole focus revolves around guys.
But that's specifically the movie. The only reason why they exist is because of what this guy did to them.
But because of the guy. Not necessarily what they did. Not necessarily what he did. Even like that was the catalyst. But they couldn't necessarily live without him. Mm-hmm. And from the wife's perspective, I get it. Like when she went back with him, I understood that. Because it was made clear that she wanted to try to save the marriage.
At no point do you think that Carly can't live without him. At no point do I believe that Carly can't exist without this guy.
But same with Amber.
Same with Amber. But
see, with Carly, it got to a point where she was going to introduce him to Dad. So it was going to become a lot more serious.
In the first act, though. Once she realized who he is, nowhere do you think, oh, my God, poor Carly. She's left
struck. I love that.
Why? Because she found another guy. Within 2 seconds, she found another guy.
Well, that didn't bother me as much, but what I like is the fact that they're sitting here, you know, you don't have to think that Carly can't live without him. She, yes, was going to introduce him to Dad, but she never was like, this is absolutely the one for me, without a doubt. And I didn't see that. I think that it was cool that he wasn't just a dirtbag all of the time. He actually seemed like kind of a nice guy. And usually when you find out somebody's been cheating on their wife, you're like, oh, how did you not know that? Was he just like a complete piece of crap? This guy actually, he held up a good act, you know? And you think of all these men as
he's a con man.
Yeah, he's a con man. But I like that because usually we see that they're complete jerks to their wives, and he wasn't a jerk. He was just a cheating, lying son of a bitch.
So, let me broaden it. No. Instead of saying with Mark, it seemed that these women couldn't live without a man. Period.
I never bought that for a second.
No, I didn't think that.
Movie shows
the
that.
The thing with Carly,
I didn't see that from Carly.
You know, I didn't
Kate ends up without a man.
I didn't mind Carly. Having interest CEO. In the second guy, Phil, because we saw in that scene saying that Mark is a bad guy, he's the a-hole who's cheating, and then we see Phil, he's like, I'm the good guy, and so her having strong morals and no going right from wrong, she's gonna be attracted to the good guy. So I completely bought that she's gonna already have interest in another guy. That didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, maybe Carly going after the brother and Kate not really mm-hmm. – she cared for a minute but then didn't care anymore. Yeah. Or maybe Amber going after the father and Carly not caring.
Yeah, like that was, again –
A little much.
I'm not going to buy that Carly's going to be okay with this.
Let's say it wasn't Amber written going, very deftly. It was
second,
not handled well.
But
like
the dad said
–
They did. The second the dad said,
"I did meet someone." Yeah, exactly. We didn't find out who it was until the end.
You had to know who it was.
I knew from the second when the dad said, "I've been with this girl. She's this Indian chick. Yeah, she's 27. Like, whatever, how old she was." I was like, this is happening." Yeah. Before we even saw Amber's character, I was like, "Oh, I know she's coming."
Was obvious coming down the pike with the banner,
telegraph.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
soon as she said, "Gosh, I don't even know what this says. I'm just signing these things, and I have no
idea."
Oh my god,
that was
going to come back? No.
Yeah, and again, like
obvious. And that, I mean, you can write that better. You can shoot that better. You can everything was just
And we did forget another. I'm going to give another example, albeit not necessarily it was a comedy, but. Mm-hmm. Again, you want to talk about female empowerment or great roles for women. Thelma and Louise.
Yeah,
of course.
And again, is that revenge? I mean, look what they did to the Brad Pitt character.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, I'm going to go again with strong women in film. I also didn't mention, I'm a huge fan of Gravity, mm-hmm. Sandra Bullock, but, it can be in all genres. It doesn't just have to be in comedy. Nope. They don't have to be in a Woody Allen type of thing. Horror movies and science fiction have showcased throughout history strong women in film. Of course, Sigourney Weaver, playing Ellen Ripley.
Yeah.
And James Cameron, I might get groans for this, but it's true. He knows how to write strong female characters. And everybody from Sarah Connor mm-hmm. to Ripley and Aliens. And, well, he wrote Aliens, but she was also an alien, and she survived that lot. To Titanic.
Sure.
I mean, that female character... Mm-hmm. In Titanic, I mean, she broke all the rules for that time period. She was a sister spirit.
You're just quoting better movies.
Yeah,
they're all better.
Like
movies.
This movie never woke up and decided they wanted to be Titanic.
Better out of the gate.
Absolutely, and you have a very high standard, and I appreciate that. And you've named some terrific movies, and there's no battling that. But I'm saying the other woman didn't wake up and say, "I want to be a James Cameron film. I want to be the Titanic. That's what I'm going for." It wasn't audience.
Obviously, it's not. But again, my point is that I think that you can strive higher. You can do a hell of a lot better than the other woman.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
But I don't think they cared.
No, I don't think that's what they were trying to do.
I totally do because they were going for this audience. 75% of this audience.
With all the zaniness, it's really hard to take that. And I know that you're saying that Blake. I don't take those Blake Edwards series like, "Oh my God, this is the beacon of an amazing, strong female character." I don't know of a strong female character in a Blake Edwards movie.
His were male driven.
You're just supposed to enjoy it. You're supposed to turn your brain off, have a good time, laugh, and say, "Hey, wasn't that fun?"
And I don't even think it was that good at that.
I agree,
either.
But I think that's what they were going for.
But the main reason that we can't believe they were taking this too seriously is, can we talk about the ending, guys?
Sure.
You can't see the last 15 minutes of this movie and think that this was trying to be a brilliant flick.
Yeah.
I was baffled. Guys.
Of marking and
I was baffled. Yeah, yeah. I mean, between the punch shattered. And the glass and the push off the chair and everything, and then the beach thing. The last 15 minutes of the movie to me were like, what happened?
I don't know.
What happened?
They run out of money. They run out of ideas. What happened?
But you guys are arguing my point for it. Like, I don't know. Like, what happened? Like, we're not talking about a good movie, but you all loved it.
But you
liked it. I don't understand.
Exactly.
I really
but
enjoyed
I
watching
think the
it.
The reason why I liked it more than you did is because you wanted it to be this thing, and that's not what it is.
Yeah.
It wants to be this thing, and if you accept it for that, it's a much
if you're
more
not a cat
movie.
Person, you're not a cat person,
right.
You know?
Oh, I hate cats. You're right.
I was spot on with that one.
You weren't spot on with that one.
I didn't take it seriously from the get-go. I didn't expect a message, didn't think it was going to get a message, didn't want a message.
But even as a comedy, as you mentioned, all right, Mark's character does such a complete 180 that comes so out of left field.
It was hard to watch. It was cringeworthy.
It was horrid.
It was horrid. And talk about an Apatow moment. It didn't wouldn't stop.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't stop, and I kept thinking it would stop. And I was like, "Is this going to go somewhere?"
It felt like an entire reel.
I hate this. If it seems to be a trend, I hate the trend because it's just going on.
Going on and on.
Oh, more is more. I go, no. You're just driving us crazy.
It was seriously hard. I think the people that wrote some of these reviews, the Boston Globe, New York Times, LA Times, they said some really mean things, and I'm like, if I just saw the last 15 minutes of the movie, I would be like, yes. You know, they call it cringeworthy, loud. They say that it's dumb, clumsy, lazy, unoriginal.
It is all
could
those
crush
things.
Any actor. And I can't disagree with that. But if I had just seen the last 15 minutes of this movie, if somehow we had started with that, I would have walked out of the movie. Well, it was so hard to watch.
See, if I had walked in the last 15 minutes of the movie, my impression would have been
that Mark was a completely different person.
Yeah, I would have been, this is a 100% pure slapstick physical comedy movie. I'm going to see this throughout. Like, this is, I would have thought, wow, this is funny. If I just walked in,
you would have thought it was funny. The last 15 minutes, you think
had I just walked in and saw that, I would have thought like, yes, because like him falling around, and because I wouldn't have known the character otherwise.
Yeah, it was so untrue to his character.
Exactly, that's what bothered me.
Well, yeah, I don't think you can argue because the movie was so uneven is it going to be a revenge movie? Is it going to be a female bonding movie? Is it going to be a slapstick?
Okay,
they tried. It's kind of like they went, let's throw everything.
And also
with Mark's character, we see throughout during the whole revenge process that these girls are physically trying to hurt him with the diarrhea and like changing, having him, you know, with nipples and whatnot. And then at the end, we see himself. This is him bringing the physical harm, bringing upon himself, not the other woman.
But from, I'm trying to think, you had a great word. Petulance. Did you say petulance. Yeah. Like through the like the diarrhea scene, right? He still didn't go. Like he could have gone way over. If you took the character at the end,
his face against
the thing
wall.
With the diarrhea scene, we've seen it before. We've seen American Pie. Dumb and Dumber. We've seen
Wedding Crasher.
We've seen it so many times. Why do it again? It's unoriginal.
People like potty humor.
John, I have to ask you because I know that this is your specialty. So if somebody came to you with this film the way it is now, it was already shot, what would you have said to them that they could have done to make
fix
this
it better? Tonally.
Okay.
Fix it tonally because it's trying to accomplish too many things.
Okay.
And so therefore we're all struggling with it because, and that's why I think this discussion is happening. You didn't like Leslie Mann, you didn't, and I think it's because they don't, tonally it's a mess.
Okay. Yeah.
And it has too many, it's trying to serve too many masters.
And do you think a lot of that would have been editing? Could have been fixed in the editor?
Certainly, yeah, that certainly could have helped.
This movie could have been 20 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
20 minutes shorter?
Yeah,
I mean,
10 to 20 minutes shorter.
That would have brought it down to 90 minutes.
Yeah, they could have easily cut a lot of stuff.
Am I the only one, and apparently this ended up being an issue with this film. Mm-hmm. I felt that I was just sort of kind of, the movie's rated PG-13. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why not just make this an adult movie?
And
I know that they had a problem with the MPAA, and I know that they went back to the MPAA with this movie. I believe the MPAA gave them an R rating.
Oh yeah, you can definitely tell appeal. It was originally R rated because there were obvious scenes where they redubbed
ADR
lines.
Movie? Oh ADR. My god, it's so hard to watch.
One particular line when Carly's in the street saying, there was a line.
I brought this down somewhere.
Are you flipping kidding me?
Yeah,
you can obviously tell. She was saying, are you fucking
kidding me? You gotta draft the
outside. And then there was another line when Phil was in the house and he was walking away and you can see hear the beginning of the F word, but they
obviously there was three different ADR moments where you could see all three of the women's lips and there was sound. I didn't even know who was saying, and none of them were moving. And I was like,
what? And I'm just wondering.
I don't know
just,
why you just
they
didn't
went back
go to the other side first.
PG-13 rating.
Right. And I guess what I'm sort of kind of getting at is, why would you why not just make it a rated R adult movie? Like, why are you going for the teen audience on this? Because a teen audience.
Get the $24 million a weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
definitely.
That's not even that.
I'm sure they went, an F-bomb or an R-rating is going to kill us. It's going to have a hard enough time making our money.
I don't know.
People like my little sister could go see it and laugh with their friends because that was their main audience,
honestly. But Bridesmaids was rated R. Did she go see that, too?
No.
Yeah, but it still made a bunch of money. Yeah, probably more money than this movie.
If you also think about it, the timing.
If it was as good as Bridesmaid, it could have kept the
No, but if you think about it, the timing. We're so early on in the summer movies. Mm-hmm. This is just kickstarting the comedy movies that are about to come out in the next few months. So they want to come out the gate, the comedy gate, really fast and get everyone in the seats, get a PG-13 rating. It'll get more people there.
Had this been a really solid movie, they probably wouldn't have cared. We're going to make our money because it's really good. I think they realized we're going to have a hard enough time.
I don't necessarily see that they would have had a hard time opening the movie because I thought the marketing was good.
Not saying you wouldn't have a hard time opening. You would have a hard time opening to a wider audience because it's an R movie.
At the end of the day, they didn't want to spend any more time or money on it. You know, they
just said, just dub it, move on.
Delete the F words.
They obviously didn't care.
They didn't care. And the only thing that they cared about was at this point was, let's make our money back.
I think the only thing that would have made it R was just the language. I think that was the only thing.
You guys just saw it. Yeah,
I think that was the only thing they changed.
Just the pooping scene too, and then even
White Chicks, all the other movies that we just named that had those type of scenes, they're all PG-13.
I actually thought that he did a really good job not being the Kingslayer in this movie, though.
Oh, no, I think the guy's been around, you know, a lot of people forget he was even in Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been around for a while. He's a good actor. He was okay in Mama, but he was only in that for like 10 like minutes. That's true. And
the
only
time he didn't play the one note that he always played was at the end. Yeah. Otherwise, he pretty much was the same.
Yeah, but I don't even know if you can blame him for that because,
that's the way it was written.
Oh, that was so hard to watch. When I think about that, it makes me... Because I came into this, I'm rereading my notes, I'm starting at the top, and I'm feeling it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I really did like this. This was a cool film. And then by the time I get to the end, I'm like, ooh, I don't even want to read that part because really, if you took it so seriously, it could have ruined the whole film for you.
I'm going to agree with Dimitri on this, but had I not shut my brain down for a little bit or turned it off before I watched the movie, I probably would have been much angrier.
And it wasn't like...
I didn't like it as much.
I don't understand why you don't... Like, you could have gone out and... You could have gone out, like, rated R and make it that way. I don't think that the teen audience... I mean, I don't know what the breakup is. All I have is like what the breakup is for like women and such, but I don't have like an age group. But, you know, if you're 75% women and they assign the picture as an average grade of, they got a B- via cinema score. You know, and then when we talk though about critics, when you talk about, again, we just talk critics, and you know, the Rotten Tomatoes on this was 26%. Now, you know, and they opened up to a $24.7 million, which is not bad.
Not at all.
So good for them.
Worldwide, it's done $50 million. Not spectacular, but it's okay. Yeah. You know, its total budget was $70 million. That includes P&A. The production was 40. So, you know, I just saying.
And in terms of the women aspect of it, if it opens up and did at least that well, maybe we'll actually have the better movies that we want.
Yeah, that's
because
true
it's
too.
Making some money. So that's the best thing we can hope.
It's
out
the
of
gateway
this.
To it. Yeah,
you would hope.
Yeah,
I want to talk about casting for a second, though, of these three women, because we're talking about the Kingslayer and who he is as an actor versus who he is as a character, and I thought that it was interesting how similar these women were to their characters, specifically Cameron Diaz. She is a single woman in Hollywood, and she is a career woman, a businesswoman, and she is amazing, which is why I would think that people would be able to believe her as this lawyer character. And I felt like they put so much on that. They put so much on the fact that Kate Upton was playing Amber, and that kind of is who she is. And Cameron Diaz is playing Carly, and that is who she is. That they were just like, oh, people don't have to stretch their imagination too much. You know, and Cameron Diaz came out with a bunch of interviews talking about how she doesn't really believe in monogamy and how she's a strong woman. And then there was this whole thing about she says that she's had crushes on women before and that people don't know about her sexual preference and whatever, and that this is the way she thinks. And it was very similar to her character at the beginning of the film when she's saying, just be like the French, you know, just be like the French. So I felt like this movie kind of got better for me as I did the research on who these women were.
Yeah, the reverse effect. Exact opposite.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the exact opposite for me. Because,
Tell me why.
You wanted it to be a much better movie?
No, I, again, her character, I felt, was... The three women were one-dimensional characters. That's it. They weren't anything more. They pretended, like... And again, as I was watching it, Cameron Diaz, to me, I mean, she's fine. But again, I don't think she's done anything as strong as Something About Mary. Like, that was a great comedic turn. I thought that she was, you know, and she has the chops to do great comedy. And I felt at the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to get a woman who's in a position of power here, who's going to be in a comedy, which is, you know, funny. We're going to put her in some type of a wacky situation. She's the other woman. And, you know, I just felt that there was going to be a lot more, and it just wasn't. Leslie Mann's character, when we meet her, she's really not much there. And, like, we all agreed, Kate Upton, we don't even know what the hell she does. So they didn't even bother.
That's how I kind of feel about Kate Upton in life. Like, I know she's a model, but what is she?
She makes a lot of damn good money as being a model.
She's a good dancer, too. Yeah. You should definitely watch her. Teach me how to Dougie Vish.
But if you watch the interviews with these, the catwalk, if you watch the interview with these three women, though, it's like watching this movie. It's like watching them all sit on a couch together. Being a little less of a basket
It's
case.
Funny that you mentioned that. Like, them three, when they're interviewing during all the press junkets for the promotion of this film, I felt like their chemistry on the film is kind of the same in real life.
Right, absolutely.
When they start interviews, they're serious, and then throughout fast, you can see the fast progression of how they just start joking and get
and then they,
crazy.
They sort of think Kate Upton's an idiot.
Absolutely.
You can see the relationship. They're just having fun with each other.
I saw this one interview on Pop Sugar where they are asking, they say, which one of the three of you is most likely to be cheated on is basically the question. And they both say, they say Kate Upton, and she's like, yeah. To me, that's incredibly offensive. She's just like, yeah. They're like, why? And they're like, well, because she's the youngest. What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I make poor choices.
But she just was like, uh-huh, you know, and it just seemed very much like her character to me. I was like, if anybody said that to me, I'd be like, what do you mean by that? Yeah, why am
weird.
I?
That's
by the men that I pick or who
but
I am?
Like,
yeah, she's just like, I get it.
Probably,
like, so I felt like that is what they kind of were implying, that she was a little bit of a lacking in the brains department. But like you were saying, their chemistry on and off screen was very similar, which is why the movie improved for me as I was watching, because I was just like, this is just kind of a thing. Like, it's just the three of them doing their thing and having fun, and it was fun, and they're in Hawaii and... whatever.
Braiding each other's hair and drinking and having cocktails.
Or Bahamas, whatever it is. Yeah.
An island state.
Yeah. Living the island life. And they're like, it's so miserable. Ha, ha, ha. Like, life's good. It's good to watch them.
Sure.
You're just talking about braiding their hair and everything like that. Did it seem dated with the music? We had the Pat Benatar. We had Cyndi Lauper. We had the kind of 80s montage.
The music was bizarre. It was bizarre.
Wasn't it strange?
Yeah.
I think that those, the 80s songs was definitely an ode back to, the older, the 30-some, 40-some generation that would appreciate this movie.
Okay.
And then we had the newer modern songs like... Bubble Butt. I mean, come on. That's
weird.
Right now, that's a modern, as of 2014, that's a very modern day song. Everyone loves and enjoys it. It's fun. It's one of those crazy songs. So they have, it covers a bunch of different generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, outside of the source music, I actually felt a lot of that. I actually thought that.
We had Mission Impossible.
I felt that the music cues like that were so insult. Like, it was so obvious. Like, again, Mission Impossible theme has never been used in a movie
the girls
before.
Didn't have fun for the monsters.
Girls didn't have fun. I was like, you didn't even think about that one.
No. They didn't think about anything, it seems.
I'm wondering why. I mean, it felt a little dated to me.
Yeah.
Well, it felt dated. It just felt obvious. It just felt very
dated to me.
There was no thought into going...
So I was just wondering why that? I mean, of all the songs, because we've heard that so many times. Especially for this kind of thing.
To me, this just would have been such an easy fix. This wasn't something that would have cost more money or taken more time, really. Maybe a few more minutes, hours. It was strange. As I was listening, sometimes I'd be like, oh, I like this song. And then I'd be watching the movie and be like, oh, it seems very second. What am I watching again? Oh, this is a weird choice. But yeah, I did enjoy the music, just not with the movie. I don't think that's what they were going for.
I think that the whole Bihama situation when they went there, that whole scene, or there was like maybe 4 to 5 songs within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was like back to back to back. And that's when I noticed the music the most. And those songs that they played during that particular scene were more modern day. I mean, Royals, Bubble Butt.
It kind of felt like you just mentioned the Mission Impossible music. It almost felt like, as in the editing room, they put, oh, let's get our temp music in. So, we need a Mission Impossible thing. So they just grabbed
the theme. And when did the Mission Impossible theme show up?
It ended up in there because they never replaced it.
And we could pay the royalties on
something.
I don't know.
They're spying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it,
they really went for the obvious choices. Yeah.
You can argue that it was kind of an obvious movie. There wasn't really, I mean, it was very paint by numbers.
It's obviously a movie too.
It's an obvious movie. There's nothing covert. There's no hidden turn. I mean, even the way they find out.
Except they build
this whole thing up. Oh my god! You know, he's been, hoarding money, stealing money, and all this other stuff. And they don't even show how they even get it. She says, "Oh, it's here." We go to the bank, and then what? So nobody has to go through any, like you. Somebody was saying earlier, I believe it was Marissa was talking about. We don't even get to see Carly use her legal prowess. It's all so obvious and easy. And
the only thing that was hidden was Mark's character at the end. Where the hell did that come from?
He obviously, there was something else going on there that could be a whole different movie. The character.
We could argue that because he's such a con man, he's keeping a tight lid on all that because he doesn't want anybody to see that. So,
yeah,
I guess that's the only way I can rationalize it.
He was so calm, cool, smooth. Yeah. Like, you can't pick up. Well, maybe you can.
Like,
I mean,
the three women he did wrong, finally doing wrong to him.
Yeah, you know, and then the dad with the punch in the face was just the cherry on the. Okay, but as I'm sitting here, I'm looking through my notes, I'm looking at quotes, and I'm thinking about, I'm going back to how this depicts women, and
you're a big quote person.
I'm a huge quote person. If you guys don't know, I always write down the quotes, and I'm kind of getting nervous because you know the movies. The more you talk about them, and you're like, ooh, is that what was happening there? So I'm seeing the selfish people live longer, and then I'm going on to when Carly and Kate are talking. They're first sitting at the bar, and they're and Kate's asking Carly all these questions, and Carly says, gun to my head, 50. She names the amount of times I've had sex. And Kate says, don't you have a job or hobbies? And I'm like, ooh, that doesn't look so good, and especially Kate asking that because she clearly doesn't. And then later on, Carly saying, yeah, that's me, mistress of the year. Like, and then later on, then cry on the inside like a winner. Like, some of these, if you are taking this as a message movie, but please don't, because, oh, God. Like,
but that's why that was all waking him out. Of course it
is. Cry on the inside like a winner, John.
I think we could portray them much better and still have the comedy and still be smart. Sorry.
I tend to watch movies to look at the overlying message of everything, and this movie wasn't one of them.
Well, you're one of those people who's always looking for the deeper meaning, but like when you have something like
this.
But
I think that goes me with my strong values and morals and stuff, what I appeal to, and I think that's why I appeal to Carly, because she had strong values.
But you have to think, we're watching people drunk on screen, you know. let me tell you something about Martha Stewart. She handled prison like a boss.
I know exactly.
What did you just say?
That's your role.
You just have to kind of giggle at that instead of being the intellectual, brilliant, amazing human being you are. You gotta leave that at the door.
This is a popcorn movie.
I'm not even the guy that needs to find meaning in every movie. I just, first and foremost, I need to be entertained. That's the bottom line. If I'm going to a movie, I want, for however long it is, I want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, it's gotta pass that rule. I gotta come out and say in one way, shape, or form. Not too long ago, we talked about, Brick Mansions. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to find any meaning in that movie whatsoever. Okay? Was I entertained? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I totally had to check my brain in it at some other project somewhere because, you know, I do find it interesting as to how that we all do this. Like, you know, in some movies we're a little bit more forgiving than other movies as far as, like, we can admit that they're not that great, or maybe we just call them a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
What happens in Vegas? Cameron Diaz, another guilty pleasure.
Yeah. So,
so good.
Okay. So.
And you can go on now.
I don't know. It's not that I went in for meaning on this. And again, I just wish that, you know, we are in a business that is that does complain a lot about strong female characters in movies, and we can have it all. You can have it all. I mean, and it's proven that there's a demographic that's going to go to these movies.
So you're feeling if you're given this chance, you should take it.
Just take it, run with it, and do it well. Do it really good. So yeah, I don't want to perpetuate more other women movies. I don't want to perpetuate more of that.
I'd rather perpetuate poor movies. Right.
That's all. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, you can, you know, do it really well. Get everybody to like them. Like, Bridesmaids did well critically as well, and you can make money, and The Heat did all right, and you can have strong female characters. And again, I don't care if it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. It could be a drama. It could be a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And you know, just so long as it's... What? Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, like Kate says in the movie, don't come at me with your weird little man logic right now.
Right, yeah, right.
You're being too logical about this
whole...
I know. It just is what it is. I mean, that was an ode to the movie, if nothing else. Yeah. Like, you know, you just... It, like you said, popcorn.
But what? Yeah, but
if you weren't entertained, that's a whole different thing. And if you weren't entertained, then it wasn't a good movie.
The Heat's a good popcorn movie, and so isn't Bridesmaids. I'm just saying, you can do it well.
I think it's fair to argue that The Heat has much more depth to it, even though it's a comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Bridesmaids too. I think a lot of comedies, you can peel the onion. Mm-hmm. If you peel the onion, you're just
gonna end
up crying. Well, we peeled it, and we've peeled it, and I was crying already, and now I just got peeled onion on the table.
Just saute it.
My conjunctivitis is coming back.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
We've gone someplace weird now.
Do we have any other scenes we wanted to discuss? We talked about the last scene. What are the scenes?
I think for filmmaking stance, I really did enjoy the beach scene. When they're in the Bahamas and they wake up early in the morning and she throws, we see Kate throw away her wedding ring, just the meaning that her relationship with Mark is officially over. Mm-hmm. And then we see their relationship with Carly coming on the beach and joining her. And then we see Amber joining them. I really did buy their chemistry in that. And visually, it was awesome. There was no dialogue. It was just one of those well-acted, even though they were just sitting there. Yes. It was a simple scene, but effective.
Maybe it was short,
Yeah, and it was kind of short. But I wish it would have been the end of the Bahamas, because we went from that to the bank. Had we had the bank scene, or like knowing that they're going to transfer the money at the bank, we went from the bank then to the beach, and then ending on the beach, it would have been more.
Okay. Maybe this is just
going straight back
to New York.
Can I? All right, I can say something that's positive about this movie.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Right, go ahead. Let's mark the time on this at 81:25. Go ahead.
I can say something that I actually related to. In this movie, and you just brought it up, and I guess I've just forgot about it, but it was something that I could relate to, and again, it went to the Leslie Mann character as to why she went back and slept with her husband. Mm-hmm. You know, I that didn't bother me so much, because she did say she wanted to try to maybe save the marriage or whatnot, but the scene at the beach with the ring. Now, I have gone through a divorce, and the taking off of the ring. Mm-hmm. That is it was a major part of in my life. It was a major turning point, but it was a very difficult thing to do. And I liked Leslie Mann when she was calmed down, and I liked the way that I empathized with her character in that one moment. I got it. Mm-hmm. And she did it well, and she wasn't Jim Carreying it up for the cameras. She played it very poignantly, and I empathized with that scene. So there's my positive. It wasn't for happy reasons, but I got it, and I understood how difficult that scene was.
And I agree. Had they went from the bank to the beach, and then now knowing when they're on the beach that he is going to go down financially, Mark is going to go down, that would have really just brought more meaning to the beach scene. I mean, it was great in and of itself, but then it would have added another layer to how great and serious the relationship was.
It's
having that closure with Mark.
It's so interesting to me, because I really enjoyed the movie, and although as a standalone segment, I think this would have been great, maybe it's the the Jew that I am, but all I was sitting there thinking was, why would you chuck your wedding ring? Why would you ever do that? If anything, sell it. Like, come on, baby girl. I just could. I thought that taking it off would have been enough. Taking it off.
No, you gotta.
You knew she was gonna throw it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. I never, like, they never focused on. I never focused on the ring, so I didn't get to see what kind of a rock that was, anyway. So,
oh, it doesn't matter.
But just the act of taking it off.
You don't throw it.
I have to say, I'm not a Jew, and I had this. I was like, you're not gonna. Why
would you? Don't
you turn
do
that
it.
Into something amazing, you know?
I got it. I mean, like, I didn't have a diamond ring.
I understood it.
But
I
got
also
it.
Thought it would have been funny if she threw it.
And he was like, wait, what the?
Yeah. There would have been comedy there. Or whether maybe that's the moment that Cameron's like, wait, what are you doing?
But only if that ring, again, I never got a clear shot of what the ring looked like. So I didn't know.
I mean, he was a millionaire.
But again,
when they got married, they had that one small apartment. So I don't know how.
Maybe
big
he
it was.
Bought her new one. Yeah, you don't know.
But throwing that ring away, like, it didn't look like she had any big rock in her hand.
Symbolically, I get cinematically. But I would have used. I would have had the wonderful moment, and then I would have cut it with humor and dive right back in to get that damn thing.
Absolutely,
all flailing around. Got it.
That would have been the moment, but. So. Instead, I couldn't enjoy the scene because I was like,
why are you wasting?
You know, give it to me. I'll put it around my neck or something. Now I just, okay, somebody bring me out of this place.
Yeah, I think it was
take
just
me out.
Like, had gone to the bank.
Well, you took a poignant moment of mine and turned it around to greed and, your materialism.
I tend to do that. I just am that kind of girl, you know?
Takes all kinds. There you go, see?
If Amber, now I'm telling you, if Amber had seen that moment, she would have gone running.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the gold digger?
That's why they only had Carly watching, because if they put Amber there, she was sprinting into the ocean.
All right, what else we got?
No, but I think that the ending of the beach shows that even though Mark was the asshole that brought them all together, they are still together, and they built this newfound relationship.
They had some nice moments.
They're
going
to be together in the end.
It was a good moment.
Yeah.
It was a good moment. But that's one of the reasons why I think it was uneven. It's like, it was great. Bonnie, it was just done so many tracks.
Like,
never
what
really,
movie is that
they
in?
They never any one of those arcs, any one of those themes, any one of those ideas never really got its full arc or its full telling of the tale that you could really enjoy it and earn it at the end and feel fully resolved. That's the problem.
I mean, I don't know how you could have earned this end. Period. Like, nothing they could have done.
I don't know how you could have, in all honesty, I don't know how you could see it coming. I mean, like, I was watching this character going, where the hell did he come from? Like, who is this guy?
Who is he?
He's like,
glass shatters. I can't stop picturing
it. I got an idea. Is that how the thing
went? Literally.
The whole goes shatters.
This was a moment
somebody
at the very top said that this was the idea, and everybody else shut up because they were too scared to say, that's the worst idea I've ever heard, and then it just happened.
But then when you go, if you think about it,
but wait a minute, Phil really liked it.
Yeah.
I gotta get Phil in here to talk about it.
I think he did, right? Yeah.
But did he go on and on about the end of the scene?
I didn't mind. I found it just right. It was funny.
You loved him running into the glass, right?
Because it was so unexpected. It was like, and just like the women, everyone just laughs and like, of course that's gonna happen. And then he goes outside and, welcome to New York, buddy. And he's like, that's a $300,000 car. And well, then I guess you can pay for it. It was just a good.
I'm trying to see what you're saying.
It was just a good bow on top of everything. I went for it. The 40 women behind me that were just propelling you forward in all this that were just laughing, but I had no problems.
It could have been it.
Well, we did see Kate at the beginning of the movie. Can we crack a window and it never opens? And then we see, he shatters windows now at the end.
There's your payoff.
Glass doors, the whole place is full of glass. And all you see the comedy throughout, everyone can see
windows open
this.
Now.
So you're going to run into a glass door, everyone's going to see that.
I think it was some sort of metaphor about the glass ceiling somehow with the women. I couldn't figure out what the hell they were going for. I was like, what?
No, again, thinking too much.
Yeah.
No.
I stopped right then. I went, what am I trying to do?
That was my problem.
To really crowbar an idea into this.
Yeah.
I expected a lot of out of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know how to turn your brain off, which is 99% of the time a great thing.
I do know how to turn it off. I just told you we talked about Brick Mansions, and boy, I had to turn it off to dead. to walk out of that movie and even say right. that, hey, I
spent a little bit. Before we get out of here? Any other scenes that we wanted to discuss?
I don't think so, John.
Okay, all right, let's give us...
Well, funny trivia.
There we go. Let's get to
During interviews, because we see that Mark cheats on to all these girls.
Yeah.
But they asked Leslie Mann if she ever cheated, and she's like, at one point in my life, I actually had three men in my life at the same... She was dating three guys at the same time.
God bless her.
Well, Leslie.
You go, girlfriend. Leslie.
Encourage that. That's good. No.
I'm going to get so much hate mail after this.
I will.
Another thing they said, Cameron Diaz turned 21 on the set of The Mask. On the set of The Mask, and Kate Upton turned 21 on the set of this one.
Yeah.
So they had a nice 21 birthday for her that the girls threw.
Mm-hmm. Did they give her a mask?
Sorry for jumping down your throat before you could finish, and you were completely right. So hip hip hooray for 21st birthday.
Yay, 21.
I'll tell you this, I had a lot more fun doing this podcast than I did watching the movie.
Yeah. One more thing. Nikolaj, who plays Mark, he still has the prosthetic nipples that they made for his character in a box.
Does he? Yeah, he's going to bring them out in Game of Thrones, because that does come up later. I've read the book. Yeah.
Of course.
You got to keep those.
Spoiler.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Fun little random things that I thought were funny.
What's your phone reception?
We haven't talked about Phil very much, Taylor, Kinney's character, any sort of comment on him? Who was he?
He was the good guy. The brother.
The brother?
The good guy.
Yeah, it was like...
Could have been anybody.
Okay.
Good guy.
You know, he just happened to be another, you know, he's very affluent. He could build houses. He had a lot of money. Like
pretty eyes.
Everybody's going to know this story as soon as that she sees him.
Yeah.
They're going to know they're going to end up together. So we don't have to tell the story. And I went, no, you kind of do. Because
Because this is where your coffee table is, and that's all you're giving us.
Exactly.
And now you are pregnant.
My thing is, at the end, when they were doing the titles for all the girls, like what happened with them, I kind of wanted to see what happened with Mark.
We got his revenge at the end. Does he get butt raped or something?
Yeah, I don't know. They just showed the three end results for the three girls, but nothing on Mark.
They don't show but they don't show exactly his 100% comeuppance. To your point, they made it a point to do those three, but he's the guy that is in jail for his money, he's beat up.
He doesn't have a car.
Yeah, but is he in jail? Nothing. Like, you know, with Bubba. Uh-huh. Like, you know, picking up soap.
But just some sort of, listen, if you're
going to go that broad for a comedy, why the hell not have some title card?
Structurally,
it's about the three women, and it has nothing. It doesn't matter. And that going to your point, it shouldn't be about the guy at that point. It should be about the women.
Well, they made it about him crashing through windows and getting punched in the face and getting a car towed. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they left out was a bird pooping on him.
No, that's all the fun stuff.
Okay. I should have gotten a plumber.
Next time, get a plumber. Oh, my God.
Also, they asked who gives the best relationship advice, and Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann said Kate Upton actually gives the great relationship advice.
They probably felt bad about all the other things that they...
they must be getting really poor advice from people.
Kate Upton gives great relationship advice.
What kind of advice does she ever have to give? That girl just, like, rocking... 21, you do your thing.
I know, I was like, she's only 21.
Great advice.
Goodness. Yeah, okay.
So, I'm looking past you, right. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Apparently it's great advice.
Awesome.
All right, last thoughts, anybody?
Bueller.
Okay, so I think it's clear this is a very uneven movie. You can go and turn your brain off and enjoy, I'm sure, a good part of it if you want.
We're a very uneven panel. Yeah,
absolutely. and I agree with most of the criticisms because, it is by far, it has a lot of challenges you have to overcome, but if you can, then you might enjoy it. Otherwise, you will not.
Turn your brain off. That was my problem.
Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. If you're in it for the enjoyment and you just want to watch something fun.
Yeah, if you really want to...
There are better movies out there.
If you really want a good message, read a book. Do something else.
I'm just saying there are better movies out there. We've talked about them here.
Is that what you think?
Roxy, check me out. You could go out with your gal pals, have a Cosmo before this movie, and enjoy it, right?
I absolutely could.
There you go. Absolutely. So.
Or just have Cosmos.
And then do each other's hair.
Stick with the
drink. You'll have a better time.
And sing Love is a Battlefield.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Stick with the former.
On behalf of Phil Spitek, Dimitri Panos, Roxy Striver, Serafini, we are going to sign out. We want to thank you very much for tuning in. Check us out on Anatomy of a Movie. Where else, Marissa?
Anatomy of a Movie, and we have upcoming dissections, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men Days of Future Past, a bunch of...
Godzilla!
There you go.
Bunch of summer movies coming out. We're going to
Roxy, it was a pleasure having you here. I'm sure we'll have you again.
Yeah, it was awesome.
A pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Fabulous, Roxy Striver.
Come back anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.